today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
We need to think true thoughts. Even for the believer, Satan will come along and he'll say, God doesn't love you. That's a lie. God hasn't forgiven you. That's a lie. God has forsaken you. That's not true. God doesn't answer your prayers because you're not spiritual. And he will feed you these lies, and we begin to listen to the lies of the devil as opposed to the truth of God and his word.
Who do you listen to? What voices do you hear? From your friends, your social media, your consumption of movies and television? Today, Pastor John has a warning. Whatever you listen to eventually is what you'll believe. The best way to control what your mind thinks about is by controlling what you put into it. The Apostle Paul lists six very specific things to be thinking about: what's true, what's honorable, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, and what's of good report. Now, let's join Pastor John in the book of Philippians chapter 4 as he continues his message, How to Have the God of Peace.
This is what Charles Erdman said. He said, the moral standards of Christianity are true because they all correspond to the divine ideal revealed in Christ. They trace back to the very nature of God. And the reason why Christians have begun to buy the lies of the world is because they aren't thinking biblically, scripturally. They have not really focused on the nature of God, and they just kind of get mind-washed by the world and by the philosophies of the world. God is truthful and righteous in his very nature. Truth is the opposite of falsehood and lies. Satan is the father of lies. Satan attacks our minds with his lies. How far do you have to get into the Bible before you find Satan coming to Eve in the Garden of Eden and asking a question? You remember what her question was? Did God really say that? That first one question is the same question that is continuing to be asked by Satan. Did God really say that? Is that really God's truth? Is that really God's standard? And then he began to feed her his lies, and she began to listen. You will not really die. You're not going to die, man. Haven't you watched TV? When you die, there'll just be this great light, and you'll just go toward the light. You'll just come back as a lizard or a horny toad. You're not really going to die. Everything's going to be cool. God knows something, and he's trying to hold it back from you. He knows that the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God. What an appeal that was. Be like God. Basically, all of the same lies that Satan fostered in the Garden of Eden toward Eve have all been just continually fed to man in different ways, different shapes, different forms, all the way down the line. Why do we put such an emphasis on teaching you the Bible? It's because we need to think scripturally and biblically and look at the world through the Bible. This is not a game. This is a battle. This is a war. It's a truth war. Satan attacks our minds with his lies. So our defense is the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we are to put on the belt of truth as we war against Satan. We're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says we're to be casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're always bombarded with these thoughts and ideas and lies and the philosophies of the world that are contrary to the truth of God. And we need to take different subjects, different issues, different thoughts, and go, that's not true. That's contrary to God's word. That's contrary to God's nature. That's contrary to God's standards. That's opposed to what God says in the Bible. We need to think true thoughts. Even for the believer, Satan will come along and he'll say, God doesn't love you. That's a lie. God hasn't forgiven you. That's a lie. God has forsaken you. That's not true. God doesn't answer your prayers because you're not spiritual. And he will feed you these lies, and we begin to listen to the lies of the devil as opposed to the truth of God and his word. There may be some of you that are depressed and discouraged and filled with fear simply because you're not minding your mind and you're not believing God's truth. So much of what we believe is not true. It's not true that God doesn't love you. It's not true that God doesn't care about you. God loves you and He cares about you, and God has a purpose and a plan and a design for your life. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. You need to stop and think, who am I listening to? Am I listening to God? Am I listening to the devil? Am I listening to my flesh? When you read the Bible and your mind is educated by the truth of God's word and you believe His word, you know that you are thinking on things that are true. God does love you. God does have a plan for you. Philippians 1:6, we read that He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. One of the greatest fears that we all face is the fear of the future. Is God in control? Will God take care of me? Will God provide for me? What's going to happen to my marriage, my job, my health? What does the future hold? And we're gripped with fear, and the battle is in the mind. We need to think true thoughts. Is it truthful? Does it ring true? Is it consistent with God's word? Secondly, whatever is honest. Honest signifies worthy of reverence and respect. It's what is honorable or noble. Some translate that honorable or noble. That which has the dignity of holiness upon it. So it means a Christian is not to think about what is flippant, cheap, or trivial, but rather what is serious, dignified, noble, and worthy of adoration and praise. This word honest is tied in with the word to worship or to praise. Is it praiseworthy? Is it dignified? Is it honorable? Our thoughts are to be that which is pleasing to God and is consistent with our worship of God. Again, all found in His word. What is just, number three. Notice that in verse 8. Or right, or could be translated righteous. That which is in perfect harmony with God's eternal, unchanging standards found in His word. Is there any wonder that the psalmist says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble? You show me a Christian that's praying right, and thinking right, and living right, and I'll show you a Christian that has the peace of God and the God of peace. I don't know why I'm so depressed. What do you do every night before you go to, I watch monster movies. I watch Dracula before I go to bed, my favorite show, whatever. Great peace have they which love thy sitcoms? They're not true. So much of what is on TV is absolute lies. And a lot of it's filthy, dirty, trashy lies. And yet we allow that to go into our minds. And we wonder why I'm discouraged or depressed. Psalm 19, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right or righteous. And what do? They rejoice the heart. The right statutes of the Lord bring joy to the heart. But notice this fourth thing that we're to think about, what is pure there in verse 8. Whatsoever is pure. This means morally pure. It is unstained by evil of any kind, that which does not contaminate oneself or others. Jesus actually said, if you look lustfully or longingly after the opposite sex, in the context, Jesus said, a man lusting after a woman, but a woman can lust after a man, whatever it might be you're lusting after. If you do that, where have you sinned? You sinned in your heart and in your mind. I mean, the big sins that Christians are battling with today is in the mind. First sin that was ever committed was pride. Where did that come from? It came from the mind. Lust, where does that start? In the mind. You sow a thought. thinking things. And you got to guard your eye gate. Jesus said, you know, if your eye is not single, you need to be careful. You need to pluck out your eye. If it causes you to offend, if your right hand causes you to offend, you need to pluck that out. Cut those things out of your life that would cause you to offend or cause you to stumble. I've always thought that we as believers, and shame on me, I've never done it, I need to calligraphy or write out this verse, make a little plaque, and it should be sitting on the top of our TV sets at home. Can you imagine if we took Philippians 4:8 and made a little plaque and put it over the television set at home and we saw it? I mean, how much could we watch on TV? Okay, get Little House on the Prairie out again, you know. It's all we can watch. Avonlea and Little House on the Prairie. Can't even watch the news. They try to sensationalize the news to appeal to your flesh. All the news flashes of all the sex crimes that are going on. We don't need to hear about all that. We'll wallow our minds in that cesspool. Pure. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But listen, even their mind and their conscience is defiled. It's the mind and the conscience that is defiled. Nothing to them is pure. They will take what is pure and they will twist it and pervert it and make something filthy out of it. Notice number 5 that we should meditate on is that which is lovely. That which is lovely. That means it's ethically beautiful and attractive. It brings peace and rest. William Barclay said it is winsome, and that it might be paraphrased, that which calls forth love. Now, this, interestingly, would be in contrast with what is vengeful or wants to bring punishment or brings forth bitterness or resentment. Now, many times when someone hurts us, and you will be hurt by someone in your life, rather than thinking lovely thoughts, we get vengeful thoughts. We want to punish them. We have bitterness and resentment in our hearts and in our minds. We're thinking wrong thoughts. And then notice lastly, sixthly, in verse 8, of good report. Whatsoever is of good report. It's thoughts that contain no immoral or sexually suggestive innuendos. So often we'll watch, oh, there's only a few bad words, but there's innuendos and suggestions that cause your mind to go where they should not go, right? They cause our minds to go where they should not go. Now, this is a battle. Martin Luther years ago said, and it's a great illustration. I've used it many times and people look at me usually like, I don't get it. So listen carefully. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, right? But you can keep him from making a nest on your head. You know what that means? You can't stop thoughts from coming into your mind. How many times? Where did that come from? Whoa, that's wicked. But you don't have to go, I like it. I'm not going to listen to the sermon this morning. I'm dwelling. You know, and in your mind, you're like beating somebody up that ripped you off, you know. Isn't it amazing where our minds will go at the weirdest times? Even right now as I'm preaching to you about this subject, some of you, you're chasing a polar bear in Alaska right now. You're on vacation in Tahiti, you know. Come back. Come back. You get up in the morning, I shall awake and seek the Lord. And you get up to pray, and the minute you start to pray, poof, your mind goes off, you know, to Bonga Bonga Land, wherever that is. And you're thinking, whoa, where did that come from? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna, and it just this battle raging in your mind. I shall arise and read the scriptures, and you begin to read, and the minute you start reading, you know, your mind goes off somewhere else. You just read a whole chapter and you don't even know what you're reading. What did I just read? I don't know, man. Whew, that was weird. And your mind just goes off. It's a battleground. But be careful. It doesn't do you any good to sit and just to meditate and ruminate and to think about vengeful thoughts and hateful thoughts. Now, notice how he wraps this up. We still got one more verse to look at. Notice one more thought. He says, whatsoever is of good report, and then he, in verse 8, says, if there be any virtue. Now, this is the execution of those thoughts. He just told us what to think about. Now he exhorts us to the execution of these thoughts. If there be any virtue, summarizing them, if there be any praise, what are we to do? Think on these things. Now, if something has virtue, it will motivate us to do better. If it has praise, it is worth commending to others. So what are we to do? We are to think. Here it is. Think on these things. I looked up that word think, and I thought about it a lot and studied it a lot and meditated on it a lot. It's a very, very interesting word. It actually has an idea, literally, of thinking hard upon. It has the idea of working mentally and pressing down and thinking hard upon. And it's an imperative in the present tense, which means constantly, continually, think hard down upon these thoughts. And you know where the parallel is in the Old Testament? It's in the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed, or oh, how happy is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful, but his or her delight is where? And what do? They meditate. Not medicate. We do that too often. Meditate. Now, Eastern meditation, which is quite popular today, is to sit when you were young and you could do it in a lotus, you know. Contemplate your navel, you know, and to empty your mind. All my friends in high school got into transcendental meditation. John, you really need to do this, man. It'll expand your mind. You know, I needed all the help I could get, you know. Thank God I didn't get into TM. Transcendental meditation. What do? You just empty your mind and you think nothing. You chant this mantra, what happens to be a Hindu god that nobody knew about. This is why you offered your fruit and your incense when you were initiated, and they didn't register to them. They're just a bunch of hippies, you know, high on pot anyway. Smoke pot and meditate, you know. And empty your mind of all thoughts. You just say this word over and over and over again. That's Eastern meditation. That is not Christian meditation. What is Christian meditation? It's the exact opposite. Instead of emptying your mind, you fill your mind. You fill your mind. You meditate on a scripture. And it is the very same word used when a cow chews its cud. Isn't that amazing? Takes a big bite of grass. Oh, this is good. Swallows it. Man, that was good. I'm going to bring that back up and do that again. Yeah, it is good. Oh, yeah. They're chewing their cud. Oh, they finally swallow it and go, man, that was so good. I'm gonna give it another shot. They bring it back up, chew it up. I'm not just giving you that illustration to try to grab your attention. That is actually what the word think means here. It means to chew the cud, to meditate, think down hard upon. Now, you could do that this week. And I'm going to assign you some homework. I want you to take Philippians 1:8, and I want you to meditate, and I want you to memorize this verse. Doesn't matter what translation you have, but all week long, every day, I want you to just quote this verse over and over in your mind. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's a virtue. And take that challenge to meditate on this scripture this week. Great peace, as I said, have they which love thy law. Nothing shall cause them to offend. Now, where does that all go? Notice in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You put it into practice. It emphasizes a constant practice and the deployment of a habitual lifestyle. What Paul says you've learned, Paul's oral teaching of Scripture, what Paul says you've received, verse 9, the truth transmitted to them by way of the epistle, whatever you've heard from others, how Paul had responded to his imprisonment, whatever you've seen in Paul's life in action, Paul says, do. So what we have is hearers of the word. Now we need to be doers of the word. There are two big problems today in the Christian life. And the first is the mind, and the second is the living. We think wrong thoughts, and we live wrong lives. Hypocrisy. Wrong thinking, wrong doing. There are far too many hypocrites. There's this great chasm between what we know and what we do. We have the information, but we haven't seen the transformation. We go to church week after week. We study the Bible day after day. We hear sermons on the radio. We read Christian books, but we haven't put it into practice, right? It's not the knowing, it's the doing. It's the transferring it into our daily lives. And here's what James says in chapter 1, be doers of the word, not hearers only. That's what Paul says in verse 9. Don't be just a hearer, be a doer. If you come to a church, and if you come here, I believe you do, you get taught the word well every Sunday, what are you doing with it? You have a great responsibility. You have a responsibility to live what you learn. Knowledge brings responsibility. The Bible says if you look at the word and you don't do what it says, you're like a man looking in a mirror. You look in a mirror, and then you forget what you've seen in the mirror, and you just go your way, and you don't take the information that you have gotten in the mirror. One being, you need to shave. Unless you have a beard, and you want to look like have a beard. The other may be that you need to, maybe if you're if you're a woman, I'm kind of getting myself in a trap here, but if you want, you know, you might want to put some makeup on. If you're a guy, you maybe think twice about that. Or comb your hair. You ever get in the morning and all your hair is going south, you know, one direction? Bad hair day. And you know because you looked in the mirror, you got the information, you got a problem, what do you do to fix it? You go to work and people go, do you own a mirror? Why, don't I look good? No, you need help. This is God's mirror. You look into the mirror of God's word. What good does it do to go, woo, I'm messed up. Woo, I'm really messed up. Woo, I'm super messed up. Oh, well. You just go about your daily, you don't do anything. You don't get on your knees and say, okay, Lord, today I will think pure thoughts. Lord, today I'm going to think about you. I'm going to meditate on the Psalms. I'm going to meditate on the Scriptures. I'm going to do what you've said in your word. What did Paul say in Philippians? He said to love one another. He said to press toward the prize of the high calling of God. He said to have a humble mind and serve others. All that you and I have learned over these last several months in the book of Philippians, what have you done with that?
Today, Pastor John reminded us that our defense is the truth of God. We need to think on what is true, especially when Satan questions us, asking, did God say that? We also need to think on whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is of good report. The first step is to think right. The second step is to do right. And then the peace of God will be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this edition of Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller. For most of us, social media is a part of our daily routines. We want to encourage you to check out our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram page. All the links are in the top right corner of revival.tv.
Hi everyone, it's Pastor John. I'm so glad you're listening to Revival Radio. I want to encourage you to check out our website, revival.tv. There's a whole lot of great resources there that you can tap into with past programs and archived messages.
If you're a student of the Word and want to study deeper God's Word, check out the website revival.tv.
If you want to know about God, there are lots of places you can look. You can see His glory in His creation. You can know much about Him through what He's written on your heart. But next time, Pastor John wants to remind you, the only place to find the full, authoritative revelation of God is in His Word, the Bible. The Bible was inspired by God. It contains everything you need to know to live a life that honors and glorifies Him. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.